All right, get your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 13. This is some of the most important practical stuff that I have ever preached. And I'm really, really into this. And it's hard for me to limit it. And that's why that I end up preaching so long. But I'm really going to try this morning to keep it within limits. Isaiah chapter 13. Verse 11 and 12. Manhood, being a man, it is so utterly important and it's so relevant. And mercy, I wish you'd listen this morning. And I wish you'd believe it. And I wish you would put it into your practice of life. Boy, it's do or die. And this is most important. Isaiah chapter 13. Verses 11 and 12. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. That's God's judgment. See, God's judging. Now look what he says. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. A man. In the judgment of God, when he brings down all the wickedness and all the haughtiness and all the pride of man because of their evil and their wickedness, and that's when a man is going to be worth more than anything else. God's going to make a man more precious than fine gold. In a time like that. See, that's what I've been preaching to you, haven't I? Now I've tried to bring that out, that judgment is upon us. And the men are absent. And what is a man? We talked about that. We talked last week about the marks of a man. How do you identify a real man? And now I'm going to talk to you this morning about the making of a man. Where do they come from and how do you make a man? How is he made? Where does he come from? These one in a thousand that you see all through history. And right now they're very rare. But when you see one, you need to know where he come from. How he got to be that. And you need to look at these little boys and these young men and realize the potential that is there. And your responsibility, all of us, you mothers, you fathers, you other men, need to realize your responsibility, our responsibility for the example we set before them and our part in either making them a man or ruining it for them, stealing their manhood away. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs and for the special and for the time we've had together already this morning. And I pray your spirit would have liberty now and that your word would have free course. And I pray our minds would be focus this morning. Please help folks to listen, arrest their attention, and help them to think about these truths and look for the application in their own life. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, that it would do some good somewhere. Now, how do you make a man? Well, you start with the right raw material. You start, if you're going to have a man, you got to start with a boy. You got to start with a boy. You can't start with a girl. Girls can never be men, no matter how much they might want to be. You can't make a man out of a girl. And everybody ought to say amen right there. If you have any understanding whatsoever of what a man is, you know that you can't make a girl into a man. But you can make an effeminate male out of a boy. And it's a lot easier to do that. Yeah. Every boy has the potential to be a man. And I'm not talking about just another man, but a man of God, a great man. Every boy has the potential to be a man of God. Somebody that will leave a mark on this world. Every boy has that potential. Now, whether he does or not depends upon the factors around him, the influence of other people upon him. Very, very much it depends on that. Now, I can say that with confidence because there have been a lot of great men who, when they were boys, were culled by the teachers and by others who didn't see the real potential. You know, we know about men throughout history. I was reading just the other day that Albert Einstein, one of the smartest men, most intelligent men that ever lived, his parents were told when he was a little boy that he was too stupid to learn at school by his teachers. And they kicked him out of school and told his parents that they better just get him a simple manual job as soon as they could, because he would never amount to anything, and it was not worth the resources that were needed to invest in him to teach him and give him an education. That was men's, or whoever it was, that was their misstep. Winston Churchill was the same way. He flunked out in school. And they said he was stupid and worthless and no count. So I can tell you for sure that every boy has the potential. You better be careful what you're looking at. You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what he's going to become. But we've seen a lot of great men in history who've overcome great odds to become great men. In fact, all great men overcame great odds against them. And that's part of the main thrust of the message here this morning. There are basically three things that are most important in the making of a man. I've thought a lot about this. I've asked other people. I was asking my wife yesterday, and I couldn't get nothing out of her. I just, you know, she kept getting sidetracked. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, you got to stay focused here so you don't preach for an hour and a half. We're talking about making a man. What is there to making a man? Well, I'm just going to talk about three things. And this certainly doesn't include everything. But I mean, I think these are the most important basic things to make a man, make a boy into a man. He has to have identity. I mean, he must realize that he is a man to be. He has to realize that. He can't be confused in that matter. He's a boy, and boys are to be men. And he must have that desire in him to grow up and be a man. He must identify, embrace that, and go for it. Then he has to face adversity, and he has to overcome adversity, a lot of it. And then he has to have an example of a man. Those are the three things that are most important. Now, identity. A boy has to realize and embrace the fact that God has destined him to be a man. A boy's got to want to be a man. And that's something that's lacking now. I see boys, they don't want to be men. They couldn't care less. They don't care. They don't have any idea what a man is, but they're not interested in it anyway. They think a man is just, he's sidelined, he's exiled, he's marginalized from every part of society, so he don't know what he wants. They're wandering and meandering around with no purpose and no goal in life. It's something that comes naturally to a boy to want to be a man, but it is stolen from him. You hear me? Every little boy wants to be a man. I've watched it. Well, I've watched it in little bitty boys. And just as soon as they're able to walk and to comprehend around them, you can see it in them. You can see it in them. They've got that in them, the things of a man, the conquering, the dominating, the facing adversity, the overcoming. Jimmy's talking all the time about bad guys now. He's doing this to the bad guys, and they're bad guys. They got to be done something with, you know, and he's always figuring out little things and traps to get the bad guys. That's in him. A little boy wants to be a man. And it's naturally there. You've got to crush it. And you've got to squelch it. And you've got to replace it with feminine stuff. And You've got to shame it out of him, and you've got to scold it out of him, and you've got to just crush it out of him, because it's there naturally, because God made little boys to be men. A bad example of a man might cause a boy not to want to be a man. A bad example. A mean-spirited bully, that acts like an animal who snaps and smites and a man that beats on his wife. Why would a boy want to grow up and be like that? A man that yells and hollers and screams and mistreats his wife or his children. Why would a boy want to be like that? When it's so obvious that it's so offensive and so wrong with everybody else. Why would he want to be like that and aspire to be like that? No, it'll cause him to turn the other way. It'll cause him to want to be more soft and feminine and different than that. Anything different than that, see? A bad example of a man might do that. Might take away the boy's desire to be a man. Might take away that most important element of his identity, identifying as a man. The mother who dotes on him and shelters him and encourages him to be soft and feminine may steal away his natural desire to be a man. Yes, sir. I've seen it a lot of times. And I fully believe this, that most sodomites are made by mamas. Because I've seen it over and over, and I've watched the deal, and it's what happens, boy. So if we're going to make a man out of a boy, we got to first encourage him to want to be a man. And wise parents and grandparents and teachers and everybody that has anything to do with this boy will do this without making him hard-hearted and proud toward others. Therefore, wise parents and grandparents have to understand what a true man is in the first place. Don't encourage the boy just to be tough. He should be taught to be a real, well-rounded, complete man and not just tough. A boy needs to be taught to be tough, but he don't need a whole lot of encouragement with that, because a boy is just going to be that way if he's not messed with and if he's left alone to experience boyhood. He's going to... boys are something else. Anybody that's raised boys knows that it ain't for the faint-hearted. Especially if you've got more than one of them. You get two or three boys, what's the old saying? One boy's a boy, two boys is half a boy, and three boys is no boy at all. I mean, you got a mess on your hands, boy. When you put three of them together, there ain't no end to what's going to happen. If you'll leave them alone a little bit. I'll get to that in a minute. But a boy's got to be encouraged to want to be a man. You're a boy. You're going to be a man someday. I asked Jimmy that pretty often. I said, you're going to be a man someday, ain't you? He said, yes, he's going to be a man someday. Man in the making. Adversity is a necessary experience for turning a boy into a man. Oh my, this is the big one. This is the big thing. We cannot find a great man in all of human history that didn't have to deal with great adversity. And I could just stop right there and we could spend the rest of the time going through the men. Noah and Joseph and Moses and David and on and on and on. You can't name a one of them that didn't go through great adversity before they became a great man. It's necessary. Adversity. Do y'all know what it means? It kind of enlightened me quite a bit when I just turned to Webster's 1828 dictionary and read the definition of adversity. It means an event or series of events which oppose success or desire. It means misfortune, calamity, affliction, distress. Have you experienced any adversity? When things didn't go like you wanted them to go, like you planned for them to go, like you worked for them to go? Have you ever had your dreams smashed? Have you ever been opposed and stopped from what you wanted to accomplish? Has everything in your life went just like you wanted it? I mean, you had it written out. I mean, your script, your life has just followed the script that you wrote. Has it? Adversity. Adversity comes into all of our lives. This is not just a man thing. Everybody experiences adversity. But for a boy to become a man, he must not only experience adversity, but he must overcome it. You see, that's the grand difference. A man has to. He must overcome. When you're a child, you can just go to your room and cry. This will offend you women, but that's what, generally, that's what women do. You don't know it, but men do that too. But men got to quit crying and wipe off their tears, and they got to get up and they got to go back and overcome it. It's up to them ultimately. The women look to them. The children look to them. There's got to be a man or we won't overcome. The adversity will overcome us. Yes, sir. Argue if you want. Be skeptical if you want. That is the absolute God's truth. It's God's design. It's God's way. It's the way life works. And when the men are gone, I read you the verse. What's going to happen? That's when judgment comes. That's when everything is annihilated. When there's no men, when there's no man, there's no hope. Yes, sir. And that goes for a country. That goes for a family. That goes for a church. That goes for everything. That's the way it is. People look for strength. They look for that. Now, a boy has to endure hardness because a man has to endure hardness. Most people make life easy for their little boys. And then when they grow up and have to face the real world on their own, they can't handle the adversity that comes. Well, my children told me the other day, life's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Have we all found that out? You men, have you found out that life is harder than you thought it was going to be? Look at that little boy. Life's harder than he thinks it's going to be. He needs to endure some hardness while he's a little boy, because that's the only way he's going to be prepared for what's going to hit him in the face when he faces this world. But most people don't do that. Most people shelter them and coddle them and make life comfortable for them and make it easy for them and save them from all the knocks and falls and the troubles of their childhood. They protect them and coddle them and shelter them. And children don't need so much of that as we give them. Lamentation says in chapter 3, verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for him to have to be burdened down when he's young. It's good for a little boy to go to bed tired from working. Yeah. That hard work is good for a boy. And if you want God to make a man out of him someday, you better let him have a little bit of that. It never hurts him. Never hurts him. Never harms him. Never does it? It doesn't hurt his little psyche to have to work hard. It doesn't hurt him to get blisters on his hands. It doesn't hurt him to be sore. Doesn't hurt him to mash his finger once in a while with a hammer. Or it doesn't hurt him to cut his fingers with a knife. Look at Seth's hands. Good night. He was carving with a pocket knife before he ever had a chainsaw. And boy, what would he have done with a chainsaw if he hadn't learned how to not cut himself with a pocket knife? I don't know if he ever did learn that or not. But he... Well, really. It doesn't hurt a boy to work hard. Makes a man out of him. Yes, sir. And it never hurts him. It does things for him that'll help him for the rest of his life. Most certainly. You find a hard-working man, you'll find out that when he was a boy, somebody worked him a little bit. Yeah. He'll likely cry and complain about it, and others will criticize you for making him work, but one day he'll thank heaven and you for the experience. Oh, yes, he will. I promise you that's the truth. He needs to work hard, and he needs to be pushed to his limit. You need to make him need to make him do stuff that he thinks he can't do. And push him. And watch him. Don't put on him more than he can bear. That's the way God does us. I mean, you know him. You know how strong he is. You know what he can do. Push him to that. That's what they do in the military, isn't it? I mean, that's the way it is with everything else. Why not with a child? Why not with a boy if you want him to be a man? I wish somebody had told me this stuff a long time ago. And I wish I could have understood it a long time ago as well as I do now. And it needs to be done in a way so that he doesn't feel like he's being punished, but that he's proven his manhood. He's got you ought to have a desire in him already to want to be a man. And then give him a chance to prove it. Because manhood has to be earned. It has to be acquired. That's one of the first things we talked about in it. A man's not a man just because he's a male. Manhood has to, a woman just is, but a man has to become. That's in every culture that's ever been. A man has to become. And he's not a man because he thinks he is. It's only when other men approve him, declare him, consider him a man. Yeah, that's what he's after. That's what he's got to have. Believe it or not. That's the way it is. Scoffers do not hinder me. Y'all understand? When I know that I've got the truth, it doesn't matter what you think. You know, I can be wrong, but I'm not wrong here. You understand? This is right. And you better believe it. He needs to be done. It needs to be done. You need to push him to work. You need to push him to his limit, but you need to do it in a way where he's not feeling like he's being punished for it or for something. He's being given a chance to prove himself a man. When I was young, that was just a big deal. You know, to be able to do what a man does. You know, and it was always the thing, you know, when you're little, you can't and they won't let you. But when you finally get a chance, you take it. And boy, you do everything you can to keep from failing at it because it's your chance. Give the boy a chance to prove that he's a man. It'll do more for him than you can imagine. Adversity's good for boys when it comes in the form of conflict with others. Now, y'all better listen to me here. It's because he's going to face conflict with others all of his life. You better let him prepare while he's a boy how to deal with other people, how to deal with conflict with other people. And you better teach him and instruct him and be the example. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's best to let him deal with his own problems with others and not jump in to protect him and rescue him. You're stealing his future manhood from him when you do that. Let him fight his own fights. Let him stand up for himself. Don't run in and bail him out. Don't run in and put yourself between him and his enemies. Be there, you know, but let him fight his fights. I'm just telling you common sense things that everybody's always understood. Dads used to do that with their boys. It didn't hurt them if they got punched in the nose, if they got a black eye, if they got whooped, they learned how to do better next time. That's the way life's going to treat you. When he gets big and he becomes grown and he faces this world, buddy, there's going to be conflicts with other people. And if you let him, teach him and train him and then let him learn when he's a boy, then he'll do all right as a man. Adversity with other people It's good for boys when they're young. He's got to learn to stand up and deal with those who would abuse him and not be a coward. And do what's right and stand regardless of the cost. He needs to learn that when he's a boy if you want him to be a man that'll do that. I mean, there's things worth fighting for. And you learn that when you're a boy. That's what he'll face as a full-grown man. And he learns how to deal with it as a boy if his parents will let him. Let him. Don't interfere. Parents need to stay out of the way sometimes. And watch closely. But let things go. Don't just be a hold and a control of everything. Watch and oversee. But you're raising a man here, hopefully. You know, I can turn this around, and maybe that's what we ought to do. Preach on women next time and how to make a woman and how to make a mother and all of that. But not now. We're talking about men. He's got to learn how to stand up. And boys ought to be allowed to be a little rough. You ever seen somebody, boy, I've seen him, mama won't let the boy get dirty, won't let him touch the dirt, running along behind him so he don't fall and hurt. So if he falls, she can catch him before he hits the floor. And just scared to death, that ball, I might, oh, if that ball hits him, it's gone. You need to turn your head, mama, go back in the house and hide your face in a pillow or something. Let him go. Boys need to be a little rough. Now, you got to supervise them. I mean, that's a form of adversity that they need to endure, is hardness, roughness. I mean physical roughness. Boys just got it in them. And, you know, one of the deals we had out here when we were at the old church, we were out there and you know, we got mostly girls around here. Well, Sarah came with her bunch of boys, and every time I looked out, they were just tangled up together, rolling on the ground, two of them at a time, you know, just, oh my goodness. It's such a difference between boys and girls. And if parents will just, now you got to supervise them, because they got no sense, and they will go too far. We know that. They won't stop. They got no limits. But you need to let them be a little rough. Don't just be watching them like a hawk and stuff. Oh, don't be careful. No, you might. You're going to put somebody's eye out with that. Don't do that. You're going to. I mean, what if you. You better just. I do. I just turn my head and say, oh, mercy, Lord, watch over them. They're going to. They don't kill each other. So they don't put one another's eye out or something. It happens sometimes. But you ain't going to have no man if he's coddled and pampered and protected and sheltered and kept from being rough sometimes. You women do not understand that. You just don't get it. And we can't make you get it. The only way you can get it is by raising some boys and just watching them. You're just going to come face to face with the fact that is the way it is. Boys are boys. And they just got to do that. I mean, cuts and bruises are part of becoming a man. And they shouldn't be made over by mama or daddy like they're some great calamity, you know. I never did. You know, the boys come in, they're bleeding all over. And I said, well, what'd you do now? Cut yourself again, stupid? What'd you do? You know. Just go tell your mama. Go in there and bandage it up or something. I mean, not, oh, he's bleeding. Oh, mama, please help. He's bleeding. Or he fell and hurt himself. Are you okay, honey? Oh, are you okay? You think we should take him to the doctor? Oh, look at that knot on his head. Oh. And the kids, you know, I mean, go back out and play. Get out of here. I don't want to hear you crying. Told you that. I mean, you need to understand that if you jump off the roof, it's going to hurt. You need to understand if you throw rocks at each other. When I was a kid, you know, that's the, you know, I think about all the dumb stuff we did. And, you know, and if they would have known we were doing it, they'd have stopped us. But You know, they just, I don't know, I guess they just got tired of messing with it and said, no, there ain't no... We went down here, right down there behind the General Baptist Church. That all used to be woods there, and there was a little path went through there, the creek down there, and we would have wars. It didn't matter what. I mean, if we had corn cobs, if we had apples or walnuts off of the trees or acorns or anything, well, we couldn't find nothing, but there's a lot of rocks down there at the creek. So we got on each side of the creek and started throwing rocks at each other, you know. Not any thought of what if you get hit with a rock. No thought about that at all. But guess what happened? Somebody got hit in the head with a rock. Party's over. That's it. But I mean, just that's what boys will do. You need to let them do it. I mean, you need to watch them and be careful. I mean, you can get killed with a rock. That was kind of far out there, but I mean, that's the deal. When mom and dad comes along, what are you doing? We're throwing rocks at each other. Well, stop it. What's the matter with you? But nobody ever stopped us from throwing corn cobs at each other or apples or walnuts. And how, you guys, Brother Jeff, did you ever do that kind of stuff? Brother Jim? Yeah, I know Dad did. Brother Mike, did you ever do stuff like that? I don't know about these young boys. I don't know if they ever did anything like that or not. Well, it's just one of those things. Adversity. It's adversity. When you're a child, adversity is a lot lighter thing. I mean, it's them against us, you know, and there's no real consequences. There's no real, but there's that striving. And that's preparation, that's training, that's practice, that's in your mind, in your soul, the way you think, the way you respond. And I mean, it does all that to you. And man, there's so much more that I'd like to say there. But you got to watch over them. If you give them enough rope to let off steam that's in them, that's good. They just got to. They just got to. A child runs. Why do they do that? Because they just got too much in them. You know, they. Do you remember? I remember. I can put my mind to thinking and I can remember when I was a kid. And we didn't walk nowhere. We ran. Had to get there. Just had too much energy. This had to go somewhere. And it ain't there now. But kids have got to have, and especially boys. Little girls can sit and play their teacups and all of that and they're happy. Boys can't do that. Boys can't do that. Boys got to do something. Man, they got to bust something. They got to tear down something. Well, I went to Virginia. First time I was in Virginia, we went out to the camp. And I remember I was walking past there and they were having a little primary camp. And the little boys, you know, just little old boys, 5, 6, 7 years old. And two or three of them come out of the woods and they was carrying a stick about that big around. It's chawed off on the ends. They had them a hatchet and they said, we cut this down with our bare hands. And they was had it on two shoulders, you know, carrying it out of the woods. And boy, they felt like they was something. I went out there and one time when we were living there and there was a big ruckus and commotion during camp. No, and I ran out there and I said, what's going on? There's a hornet's nest down there by the creek and them boys are down there throwing rocks at it. I went down there and sure enough, there was a creek and they were about as close as me to my wife there. And them little old boys were just chunking rocks at that hornet's nest. I mean, it was that big around and that long and they was just... as hard as they could go at it. And the hornets was just buzzing everywhere. I said, you boys, they're going to get you. They said, but it's a hornet's nest. And I said, well, just a minute. And so I went and got a shotgun and come back and I shotgunned the hornet's nest. And yay! You know, it was all good because the hornets were destroyed. That's what they wanted. It's a hornet's nest. You got to do something about it. Now, the girls didn't care. They didn't care about that. They were off doing something else. They wasn't out there throwing rocks in a hornet's nest. Boys. Now you want to try to make them do what the girls do? You want to try to make them and squelch them and choke them down into being what the girls are? Now let them go. I mean... they get the dickens stung out of them, they'll learn some lessons, you know. They fall out of the tree. We used to climb up in the walnut tree down here and jump. And so if we made it that time, we went a limb higher and jumped. And if we made it that time, we went another limb higher and jumped until you couldn't stand it no more when you hit the ground. I'd fill soda bottles with, back when we had soda bottles, with dust and climb up on the roof and jump off so I'd be like a jet plane with leaving trails behind me. See? Never broke a bone. Nothing. I landed on my feet. So, let them be boys. A man has to be able to get hurt and keep and get up and keep going. A man has to be able to get hurt and go on. When you get to be a man, you don't have the option of just laying down and crying about it. You don't have the option of just giving up. No, there's too much depending on you. You're the husband. Do you know what that means? The house. You're the band around the house. You're what holds it all together. You're what everybody looks to and leans on. You can't quit. You can't faint. You got to be strong. It all depends upon you. You got to learn that as a boy if you're going to be a man. Boys must not just suffer adversity. If all they ever do is suffer it, if all they ever are is defeated, and if all they ever do is lose, and they never win, and they never overcome, they're never going to be a man. They've got to overcome. And you got to let them keep trying, and you got to say, get up and do it again. Go! Get up! God said to Joshua, get up off of your face. What are you doing on the ground? He said that to more than Joshua. He said it to different ones. Stand up. Stand up. A man stands up. And he stands. Having done all, stand. He don't lay down. You just can't. You can't. And you learn it as a boy. It is burned into you as a boy that you're a man. And you got to go. You got to go. You can't just stop and quit and wimp out. Amen. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. A boy needs to learn to finish a job. It's very important that you learn to finish what you start. They got to learn to follow through when resolving conflicts with other people. They got to learn to go on when they get hurt and not let it stop them. I like to see a little boy when he gets hurt. It don't make me distraught with him if he cries because he smashed his finger or something. A little boy, you know. Now, if I smashed my finger and I'd sit down and cry, what would you think? But a little boy, you know, it's going to hurt, and that's what a little boy does. I mean, little. A baby cries when it hurts. A little boy cries when he gets hurt. But just a little bit, now get up, son. I know it hurts, but you got to get up and go on. Go. Quit that crying. It's okay. It's what you ought to do. It's what you ought to say to him. That's the way you ought to treat him. Amen? Y'all listening? Y'all agreeing with this? Oh, yeah, you better. It's the truth. They got to learn to finish. They got to learn to follow through. They got to learn to get up and go on when they get hurt. We call it backbone and grit and determination. But God's got a word for it in the Bible. It's continue. It means to just keep on going, to persevere. Just man falleth seven times, yet he riseth up again. That's a man. A just man. He fought, but he gets up. Just get up and do it. Go at it again. That's what it takes to win, ain't it? Ain't that what it takes to win? You can't just quit. No matter how tired you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how bad it hurts, There's times when you just got to get up and go anyway. Because there's nobody else to do it. Adversity. I could say a whole lot more there, but I promised to hurry. So I'm going to hurry and get this last one in here. Example. An example of manhood in a boy's life is a necessary thing if he's going to be a man. And I thought about this and I tried to figure out how to say it just right. But listen to me. There's a lot of boys that grow up without adversity. And if they encounter an example, a true example of a man, it can save them. Yes, sir. And there's other boys that can endure and overcome adversity with no example, and they can make it and be a man. But boy, if you got both of these, man, you got the perfect recipe for making a man. If you got the adversity and the overcoming of adversity, and you've got an example of a man in your life who has overcome and who overcomes adversity, there ain't no excuse for you not being a man. Probably the greatest thing that makes a boy want to be a man is when he experiences the example of a true man in his life. Now, you know, if you're thinking with me, you can understand what I'm saying and how true it is. All little boys always have heroes that they look to and that they're inspired by. When I was a kid, you know, cowboys and all the, you know, the westerns and all that, that's what we all saw. And so we always had somebody, you know, Matt Dillon, boy, we want to be like Matt Dillon. He was a man. Nobody ever put it over on him. He was the quickest draw. He was the smartest. Nobody ever outsmarted him. Nobody ever beat him. We want to be like that. A boy wants to be like that. And he's looking for somebody to be like. He's looking for that example. He's seeking and looking and searching for that example. Yes, sir. Parents should make sure that they provide the right kind of men before their kids for heroes. Important. Boys look for men who become the standard they strive for. You want to know why that the boys are like they are now? Who are they looking to? Who are their examples? Who is it that they admire? Who is it that they aspire to be like? Some raps? I don't even like to call them singers. They don't sing. They're talentless. Yeah. And they're vulgar and filthy and immoral and profane and wicked. Why would you want to be like that? In the absence of a real man, that's what happens. In the absence of godliness, that's what they look to. Parents should be careful about that. Boys look for men who become the standard they strive for. And all men, y'all listening, all men, but especially fathers, should realize that boys are looking to them and watching their example. You realize that? Not just your kids. Other people's kids. Other people's boys. They're looking at you. Men, I'm talking to the men. They're looking at your example that you're setting before them of a man. That's what they desperately need. It's the major ingredient to them ever becoming the kind of man we're talking about here. They're looking for it. Are they finding it in you? What do they see in you? Think about it. Little boys are looking to you, young men. You have far more influence than you think you do, and therefore you have much more accountability than you think you do. God is going to hold you responsible more than you think He is. Think about those under you. If there's anything to you at all, it'll cause you to straighten up your act a little bit, walk a little straighter, be a little more honorable, be a little more godly, be careful about what you say, what you do, because little eyes are watching you. Little boys that have the potential to be made great men, and you better not blow it. You better not be the one that causes a failure and a waste of a life and the loss of a great man. Have you ever considered deeply about the judgment of God, and when the books are open and everything's laid out, and we see the full consequences of the words we said, of the things we did? You ought to sit somewhere under a tree and think about that a while sometime. And it'd make you walk a little better. Make you be a little more careful. The biggest things boys are watching in men is how they deal with adversity. And that's the single most important thing in the example of a man that is transposed upon a boy. How that man deals with adversity. He's watching. Because he knows somehow. It's in him that he knows. That's what he's looking for, is how to do that. How to deal with adversity. How does he handle it when it don't go the way he wants it to? When he has problems and things that are just oppose him, how does he deal with it? Well, some men just wilt and faint and are overcome by the adversity. Terrible. Terrible example. It's terrible for that man because he's ruined when he does. It's like Churchill said, never, never, never give up. That was his speech one time at a college up here in Missouri. They called him and he come and made a speech, and that's all he did. He got up and he said, never, 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 never give up. And walked away. That was his speech. One of the best speeches ever given. Don't wilt and faint. Somebody's watching you. You can't. You can't. For their sake, you can't. Others patiently endure and trust God and do right by everyone anyway and prevail over the adversity. That's the kind of example we want to set. Other men, they just quick on the trigger and they just annihilate everything at the first sign of adversity. They're just overkill. They're the kind that just carpet bomb everything and just, they nuke it all. That's how they deal with adversity. Little boy don't need to see that. No, man ain't like that. A well-rounded, a godly man don't deal with problems like that. There's a time when you do, but that ain't how you deal with it generally. It has to come to a point of no other hope before you'll do that. David told us how you do this when he charged Solomon, his son, as he was dying. Now, let me read this scripture to you, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord. How are you going to do that, Solomon? How are you going to be strong? How are you going to be a man? Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses. That, y'all listening? Yeah. David talking to his son as he's dying. His last words. That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So you can overcome adversity. How do you do it? You keep the charge of the Lord your God. You do right. by God, not what you think, by what God says, as it is written in the law of Moses. That's your guide, son. Now, do it. Be strong and do it. That's a man. That is a real man. Charging his son to be a man. And he's telling him in a very few words as he's dying how to do it. And that's what little boys are looking for. Boys are watching for strength in a man. Not just physical muscle, but fortitude of soul and spirit and resolve. That's what a boy is looking for. He's looking for a man who is steadfast and who's right and who deals with things according to God's ways and God's word. A man has to be strong because everybody else leans on him and looks to him for strength and direction and help and protection and deliverance and hope. And that's the truth. I mean, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth, Brother Jim? You're an older man. Don't people look to you? Ain't that that's the way it is? Your family looks to you. And it gets to where other people look to you. And they may not do it out in the open, but they do. They look to you. Like, what are we going to do, Dad? What do we do? What do I do now? A man's got to be strong because others lean upon him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God meant for it to be. So be strong. He's got to be strong. Man is the pillar of the home and the society. A man is made by God out of a boy in the shadow of another man from the blood and the sweat and the tears of adversity. That's how God makes a man. You ain't going to find one in all of history. You're not going to find one. You're not going to find one right now that ain't made out of that stuff right there. So when you see a real man, you better stop and consider what you're looking at. Be very careful about how quickly you estimate him and his worth. And be very careful about how you place yourself in respect to him. Children of Israel didn't respect Moses, and God punished them severely and quickly, didn't he? You know the Bible? You know what it says about that? Yes, sir. What do you think it means when the Bible says, let the wife see that she reverence her husband? What does that mean? Call him an idiot? Tell everybody he's an idiot? Tell him to go jump in the lake? Huh? God Almighty puts extreme high value on what I'm talking about here this morning. In the time of judgment, God said, funny isn't it how he took that out and said that right in that he would make a man more precious. That man in a time like that is worth more than fine gold. A man. A man is worth something. You better not forget it. And you better not mock it. And you better not spit at it. And you better not ridicule it. And you better not think yourself so high and mighty that you are above all that. This culture that we live in mocks it. And if you mock it, you're a part of it. You're influenced by it and you're eat up with the cancer that's destroying us all. And you don't even know it. You ought to regard God and God's ways. And this is God's way. God made a man and he gave the man a woman. And we're one. And we're in this together. And the whole thing works when we're what we're supposed to be. And I'm telling you, this is what men are supposed to be. This is what a man is made of. And women have a big part in making a man. Women have to raise little boys. And women ought to be concerned about making her boy a man. And in order to do it, sometimes she has to turn her head and say, "Oh, Lord, help me. I can't hardly stand this." Daddy has to do the same thing sometimes. I've raised a bunch of kids. They're all grown now, almost. I just go off to myself and chuckle at all the people who haven't raised their kids yet or who haven't finished yet. Because I know what they're in for. And they don't. And there comes a time when you've got to do that. You've got to turn loose. Hey, practice on that while they're little. Let the boy be rough. Let him, help him to become a man. When you see a real man, be careful. And remember, when you're looking at these boys, what it's going to take to make them a man someday. And don't hinder the process. Okay? Be a help, be a blessing. Be a good example, men. Women, help in the deal. We need men. And every boy and every young man in this house this morning, everybody listening, every boy you see has that potential in him. You put the right stuff in him. What's that song Brother Parker always sang? Kids grow up. You put the right stuff in him. Yep, pretty soon it'll show up. Amen. It's up to us. A lot of this is up to us. All right, let's stand. I'll quit. Are you concerned about it at all? Will you think about it? Mamas and daddies are proud when their boy becomes a man. When he shows himself a man. There was a quote that I've read, and I can't say, I wish I had it right now, but it was like this. It confirms everything that they put into him and everything that they hope for. But if he doesn't, it's just the grief of their life. Your boy grows up and becomes a hero and a man. It's a great reward. My heart shall rejoice, son, when thy lips speak right things. Yeah. When you're wise and other people recognize that you're wise and that you're a man. Great reward. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truth, and thank you for these thoughts that you've given us this morning, and I pray you'd bless them now, and I pray that it would do some good, be some help to all of us. Lord, how I wish that I could have understood all this years ago. I would have done a lot of things that I didn't do, and I would have done a lot of things that I did do differently, but that's all in the past. And all that doesn't matter now. I just pray for these that are here this morning. And these little boys, these young boys that are here. I pray that you'd help us all to be the right example before them. And Lord, help us to help them. And encourage them. And guide them and be the right example for them. As they grow up here. And as they become men, that they would become the right kind of men. That you could look down here and find one among them. Help us, Lord, to leave here now and work in our hearts today. Bless service tonight. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty.